Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. This is Phyllis Pricer, and we're so glad to have you here. Remember, this is a live broadcast show, so you can call in. You can get the number from your screen and call in and participate. And tonight we have a lovely, lovely lady, Karen Meringer, and she wrote a couple of books, but the one I love best, I think, is Sail Into Your Dreams, 8 Steps to Living a More Purposeful Life. She is a master's degree and the founder of Creative Transformations, author, speaker, and life transformation coach. And her primary work is to empower people to take risks, to follow their dreams, and live life to the fullest. And she has a wonderful story to tell about the dreams that she and her husband had in realizing their dreams and moving from a house and two wonderful professions and throwing it out into the world, the universe, and going on a ship and living on a ship for a while. A sailboat, I should say. No, they're not ships. I'm sorry. And she is with us this evening, and I just love her book. Welcome, Karen. Welcome.
Thank you, Phyllis. I'm so delighted to be able to be here talking with you tonight.
Thank you. And I'd like you to tell people a little bit more about yourself. We've had the opportunity to talk, and there's a great deal in your book, but, you know, there's even more that you can share with people in following your dreams, because we're all like-minded souls. We all want to have our dream come to fruition.
Absolutely. Phyllis, do you want me to start with sharing the sailing story and how that dream unfolded?
Well, you can start anywhere Spirit tells you to start, my love.
Okay. Thank you.
Whatever you're led to do, go for it. I'm here.
Okay. Well, I think I will start there because that's the beginning of my journey as far as writing the book and kind of what our focus is this evening. And it started in 1998. My husband and I were living in Seattle. And just like you said, we had two good jobs. We had a nice house in the suburbs. But there was something missing inside. We would come home tired at night and just plop in front of the TV, and it felt like there should be more to life. And so we started having conversations about what is it that we feel passionate about. And one of the things that came up for both of us was sailing and spending time on the ocean.
Mm.
So we decided to take sailing lessons, and basically one thing led to another where we started reading magazines and books and heard stories about people who took off from their ordinary lives and went out cruising, which is traveling by sailboat on the ocean. And so we decided to apply for a couple of positions crewing a sailboat. And what that means is that we help the captain of the boat deliver it from point A to point B. And sure enough, there was a gentleman in Seattle who was circumnavigating the whole world, and he had already done the first leg from Seattle to Fiji, and we joined him for the second leg from Fiji to Singapore.
Isn't that fabulous?
So, yeah, and it was the beginning of a life-changing journey for us. We decided to take a whole year off and completely reinvent our lives from the way we were living, our lifestyle, to the work we were doing, where we were living, and part of that journey was the 6 months on the sailboat, which was completely life-transforming experience.
Mm-hmm. How did you manage being in such close quarters on ships for so long? I think that's a question that many people talk about, but isn't there a lot to do on the ship when you're out there? I mean, it's not like you just sit up, put your feet up.
Right, Phyllis. Yeah, away from the sight of land, while we were cruising, there were shifts, or watches, so to speak. So we would have hour-and-a-half watches, I think, 4 times a day through the night. And so that meant that you were at the helm paying attention to the direction and the speed of the boat and the wind and the sails. Mm-hmm. And basically, you were the one that was responsible for the safety of the boat and the direction we were going. And there was responsibilities like cooking and provisioning the boat and then washing it, taking care of maintenance-type issues like engine problems and whatnot. So we all had different responsibilities. Living together for my husband and I went very smoothly. We tend to get along really great. And we spent enough time off of the boat that we could have our own space, you know, once we were off the boat doing things during the day. Towards the end of the journey, though, it did get pretty tense with the captain and the other crew member, just feeling like, basically, the feeling was when we got to Singapore, we were just as excited to get off the boat as we were to get on it.
To invite you off.
Yeah. Exactly.
What decided you really to take that plunge? Was there any one thing that occurred, or was it just an accumulation, or a and what did you learn from this voyage of walking away from, I guess, your successful lives as professionals, the dream life that most people have, and moving
right.
into?
The plunge happened for this particular dream that we lived. It was more about the process. So it was something that, like I said, gradually we took sailing lessons, we read books, we started talking, and the next thing, you know, 6 months later or whatever, we're mm-hmm. planning for this journey. So that really was more of a gradual process.
Mm-hmm.
We knew something needed to change. We weren't sure exactly what that was or what direction to go. And so that was more of a gradual process. And what was your second question, Phyllis?
It was a gradual process, not a minute. And having left, did you ever regret having left your life as you knew it and moved into, well, a whole new world?
Absolutely not. There was no regret or no turning back for us. It was all about moving forward and mm-hmm. taking the next step and the next step and the next step. And some of the things, I do remember what your previous question was about how, I think it was about how it changed us. Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, how it changed our lives.
Yeah, just, several points on that. There are four different points I'd like to touch on. One is the part about slowing down. So really taking time out to slow down and go within to be able to hear our own voices, to connect mm-hmm. more on a spiritual level. That was profound. And then the second part about leaving that lifestyle was simplifying. So leaving behind all our possessions, saying goodbye to our home, our pets, mm-hmm. our family and friends, just really simplifying. So no cell phone, no computer, no mail, no phone.
Wow.
Yeah. That was huge.
Brave woman.
Well, and it was so, I can't tell you how freeing it was. Driving away from Seattle, we first started off on a little road trip because we were trying to decide on a new home when we came back. And
right.
It was the most liberating feeling to drive away. Everything in storage, just a few backpacks and, you know, our tents in the back of the car for a little road trip. And I think I just cried pure joy, you know, pure tears of joy.
And you were floating out there for a year, so to speak. When you came back, what did you plan to do when you got back? To buy your own boat, to go back to your profession? What had you decided to do, or was it during this period of time that you sort of got led by the spirit to move into a different lifestyle, really?
Exactly. Well, we both decided to change careers and we changed locations. So we moved from Seattle to San Diego. We wanted to be just in a warmer, sunnier climate, close to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
We rented a little beach bungalow, which seemed huge compared to the sailboat. And I went back to graduate school, and that's when I got my master's degree in marriage and family therapy. And then John switched gears with his career, too. So it was kind of like a starting over point for us.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did
yeah.
you live on a boat then for a while? Did you buy a boat, or were you people?
We actually didn't buy a boat till several years later. And during the three-week road trip that we went on before our sailing trip, we had a vision of someday owning a cabin in the mountains and a sailboat. And that dream happened shortly after my father passed away. That was the impetus to basically, you know, do it now. Don't wait, because we kind of started getting back into the lifestyle of owning a house, working to pay the mortgage.
Right.
And then my father passed away just after retiring, 64 years old,
very young to go fast like that.
Yeah, very. So that just really kind of shifted things for us. We got to go for it now. And so that's when we bought the cabin and the sailboat, and we did own a boat for a little while, which was a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm. And so now you're in Colorado, and you have your own practice again?
Yeah.
Okay. And you've become an author?
That's correct.
And in your boat, where you describe your story, you also have written, and I want others to know about this, how you achieved your dreams and some steps, eight steps to realizing your dream. Can you share with our listeners what these eight steps are and how you can accomplish this? Because most people, I would be very, very concerned about moving forward. I have fear paralyzes us. But there are ways you can prepare.
Yeah, I think the first step, the most important one, I call plot a new course, be authentic. And that's really about taking the time out to know who you are. So know not only are you an amazing, incredible spiritual being, but you're also a unique human being with dreams and desires that nobody else has. So just really getting in touch with what that is for you, what that looks like, and creating a vision that's unique and authentic to yourself. I think that's the most basic primary step. The second step is navigate the sea of change, create room. So once you do have a vision and an idea of what it is that you want in your life, really letting go and creating the space. So, for example, the clutter that we build up in our lives, material possessions that mm-hmm. we don't use. This also goes for the emotional baggage that we carry
yes.
we need to let go of, because that's huge. And
mm-hmm. I would say you're making really wonderful statements that is it's a recipe for living life to its fullest with the greatest joy.
Yeah, and being able to show up, because once we let go of our past, we let go of even our attachments to our dreams and the way we think life should be lived, and we
okay.
let go of things like toxic relationships, and we
mm-hmm.
clear out the clutter. It's just creating so much room to show up fully present and available to whatever God, Spirit, Creator puts in your path.
Right. Okay, and that to me is one of the most fascinating things. Is it's a recipe from what I read that everybody could follow through. It's one that each of us have read in different ways. You put it in your own personalized way, but you know, so often we just don't get it. We hear things over and over and over, and we just don't get it, or we say, you know, tomorrow let's do it, or it couldn't possibly be for me. And I think part of what you indicate is that it's for everyone who desires to change their life. It's not just for a special few or those who seem to be better set monetarily, but a great deal of it is learning to trust yourself. Am I right?
Yeah, that is huge. And that's part of step 8. I talk about surfing the waves, going downwind, surfing the waves, trust and let go. And that's, I would say that one of the things that we learned about taking off from these great jobs and, you know, the lifestyle that looks so good and taking off for a year and traveling and whatnot was that we did learn to trust. And we
mm-hmm.
learned to trust that the resources would be there because unexpected things came through for us at the last minute. So now we're able to live in a more relaxed way, following our dreams, knowing that we will be taken care of. Of course, we have to show up for that. But, yeah.
yeah, it's nice to have a door to knock on, or for them to knock on, and you to be there at home when it comes knocking.
There you
but
go.
But I think also, how did it change your relationships with each other and your relationship with yourself, most of all?
Well, my relationship with myself grew closer. That's when I really started to write more. So when we did the sailing trip and we had all that time and energy to be more in the moment, so to speak, the writing really started coming through. So that got me more in touch with myself, more self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the relationship for me with John has just always been easy.
Okay.
So we just seem to flow together. We have really great communication. We enjoy a lot of the same things. So it just flows. And so
what I'm thinking is along the lines of, did it put your relationship or take it to a new level?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. I think so, Phyllis. Being able to do something like that together and having the trust and the courage together to do something like that
mm-hmm.
definitely put it to a new level, because since then we've been able to make big jumps and do other things on another level with that courage and that trust.
Isn't that marvelous? So it's a very healing situation of body, mind, and spirit is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
As well as being fun and enjoying the heck out of it.
mm. Absolutely.
You know, and it does take a leap of faith for one to just step out. And I think there's a biblical saying that, you know, if you want to have that which is good in life, it's really important to be able to trust that good will come to you and that you will be guided to each step of the way that you go. That's important.
Yeah, I love that. Someone said that recently at one of my book events, that you're guided by you trust your higher consciousness to guide you to the next step and where you need to be.
Right.
And I just really love that.
Oh, that's beautiful. So talk to us a little bit more about your experiences and some of the great sea shanty stories that you might have had of one of the oops or some of the funnier things that developed as a result of your lifestyle? You must have many stories, that's why I say, where you can dine out on them.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, one of the things I noticed while we were cruising was an interaction with the locals.
Okay.
Really opened our eyes to different perspectives and different way of living. And kind of like I touched on the slowing down and simplifying your lifestyle, we had visited a village called Waia, and that was in the Fijian Islands, after hiking several hours, running out of water, being starving.
Ooh.
We just kept going because we heard there was a village on the other side of the island. So eventually we made it down to this area where we started seeing little huts and pigs penned in on the beach, and we heard music, and we kept going, and then we saw a ceremony was taking place, about 200 native Fijians in their grass skirts dancing and celebrating. It turns out they were celebrating a new community building.
Oh.
And they had invited us to join them for lunch afterwards, and I just noticed in my interaction with them just how incredibly happy and joyous these people seemed and how simply they lived in these little huts in community with each other. Some of them missing their teeth, you know.
That'll probably be not being top on the list of things to do.
Exactly. So it just really opened my eyes to, one, the importance of community and connection to the land, because they're very connected to the earth there and living off of the land, you know. Connection with each other, connection with the land, and then obviously some kind of spiritual connection, because it really came through their smiles and their eyes.
Sparkling.
Beautiful.
Alive, as I call it, alive.
Yeah, very alive. And I do talk about this step five of the eight steps is swim with the dolphins, be in community. So I talk a little bit about the importance of connecting with other like-minded people around a purpose, you know, a higher purpose, and working together towards that. So developing community in any way possible is extremely important. I read a quote in an article I recently read. It said 85% of our happiness and satisfaction come from the relationships in our lives. Only 15% come from the accomplishments.
Now that's very profound.
I think it's incredibly profound because we are so accomplishment driven and oriented in this society.
Well, goal driven, yes. Yeah. To the point of setting aside relationships for maybe if we have time down the road.
Yes.
Or even considering having a relationship because, you know, somebody might think of taking what you feel is yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. And again, when we talked earlier, you did tell me there were some other exciting things, stories that we laughed about. And, you know, the awakening of your spiritual awareness, did you find an increase in your intuitive abilities by being on this type of journey?
I think that what happened for me, was that being on the ocean especially, I don't know if it's because it was just the connection with nature that we were always outdoors. The boat's so small, you're not inside very often except to sleep and just to cook here and there. But so I'm not sure if it was that connection with nature or specifically the ocean, but something definitely woke up more inside me. It was like a friend likened it to like a rebirthing or a womb-like process, like being in the womb and rebirthing, being on the ocean in the boat. She likened it. I thought that was a really beautiful metaphor. So definitely more connected.
Yes, I've always felt people who live by the sea or on the sea, to me there's a clarity about them. I don't know how to explain it anymore, but to me, as I said, when I look at people who are in the Navy or live by the sea, it seems as though, as I said, it's the closest I can say, they look clearer and brighter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say cleaner because it's not, you know, but it just seems that there is something about them that is so brilliant that those who are close to our Earth and who are landlocked, so to speak, don't seem to have.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, because, you know, we came from the water at one time, or that's what the scientists say. I have my doubts. I think I was an amoeba at one point, personally. I have a little more pride than that. But so, talk about some of the other steps that you found were so very useful at achieving your heart's desire and your dream.
Okay. I'm still with you back on the amoeba thing. Sorry.
That's a long time to grow, baby.
Let me switch gears here. Oh, something I want to say also is I think also when we lived in the mountains, mm-hmm. I think it does have to do with nature, too, because I felt a really deep spiritual connection also living in the mountains.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So something about being away, and this is my next step. Step three is up anchor, raise the sails, participate in life. And it's about eliminating or minimizing the distractions. And that was what was so beautiful about being out on the sailboat mm-hmm. in the middle of the ocean, was there were no distractions.
Sometimes you could wish for a few now and again, I would bet, but basically...
No, it was just, I loved it. I know some personalities have a hard time with that, but I absolutely loved it. And then similar, living in the mountains where there aren't as many people, there isn't as much noise, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah,
know,
I
that
had
energetic.
A house out of the foothills of Blue Ridge Mountains, and I will tell you, I just went out there and the silence wasn't deafening, I can't say that, but it was a different sound.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, and you could just feel the earth breathe sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
so
and there's the music in the trees and in the birds, and it all sort of goes together like a beautiful dance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that clarity and that spiritual connection, for me, can happen in those places. But what I want to say is recently John and I have moved away from the mountains, and we're living in a more of a suburban-type situation,
mm-hmm.
and... I am able to have those moments of clarity and see the beauty in everything around me. So there's something that goes even deeper than... I believe that being on the ocean and being in the mountains helped with that spiritual awakening, so to speak, but there's something that goes even deeper
mm-hmm.
when you can get to a place in your life of appreciation and appreciating even the things that are hard, because
mm-hmm.
those hard things are what make us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted... say about that is that sailing into your dreams isn't all about sunny skies and calm waters and turquoise oceans and sunsets.
Right.
But there were a lot of storms that we encountered at sea, just as we encounter storms in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those storms were very scary and very challenging and very stressful. And because of getting through the storm on the other side, I had a tremendous amount of feeling of accomplishment, more courage.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow, I did that. You know, oh, I can do it again. Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
the next storm isn't so bad after that. So for me, sailing into my dreams has been more about the journey of finding out and loving who I am in the process of going towards my dreams. So, yes, I've accomplished all these wonderful dreams manifesting on the outside, but it's more about the inside and the transformation that's happened as I've moved towards those dreams.
And that's what I'm thinking of, yes. That's what I was angling for and couldn't quite get it out.
Well, that's what we were talking about the other day, and I think, yeah, we needed to get back to that.
We are so blessed in this time and age, I think, with the ability to try to accomplish what we want. I recently talked to someone who comes from a South American country that I'll remain nameless. But I, in just listening to this person talk about what it is like there compared to what we have here as far as freedoms and the ability to pursue our dreams without artificial restraints and so forth, you know, and I think, and sometimes we really don't appreciate the fact that we are indeed so free to go for the ring. To do what we want to do. We are not prevented by outside forces from achieving our desire. And so there's really no reason not to bring ourselves to a point of great happiness. And one of the ways of doing it is to recognize and honor ourselves. And I think that's something else we talked about, too, is that so few of us truly love, respect, and honor ourselves and our capabilities and the gift of who we truly are as we stand before ourselves and everyone else. And I think your book is one way of explaining that. And you bring out that ability to and let others know that they too can do this. It's not that you have to be particularly brilliant and as I said, born with an itchy foot or something like that. Or be propelled by circumstances that you'd rather not be propelled by, but it is a journey that you can take in thoughtfulness and in growing. And it's not only a metaphorical, but can be a physical journey. Again, I think a lot of people get wrapped up in the fact that the spiritual journey is only about the spirit. Well, the path is only spiritual, and they don't mean that you can actually get physical happiness and joy out of moving along. And what you're saying is, yes, you can. It's both. And body, mind, and spirit are healed when you allow yourself to share this wonderful earth that we have around us. Because what you are doing is taking advantage of what God created when you travel. So, you know, it's really a wonderful a gift that you give people in your book. And I think it's so much fun.
Thank you for that.
At any rate, you had a few more steps that we hadn't discussed. So if you could talk some of those. I don't have them quite in my mind right yet.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I want to touch on something that you said that relates to one of the steps, and that's step four, sail away from the safe harbor, take risks. So I think what I heard you saying is that we are the only ones that can hold us back, because we are so free in this country to create and to manifest and do things that we desire to do. We are our own limitations, our own limiting beliefs, our own fears, our own thoughts of not honoring or loving ourselves enough is basically what holds us back often. So one of the things that I think, well, let me just talk about a couple of things that I help get through the fear. Well, the first step is just to move forward despite feeling the fear and realizing that you're going to feel it, and then that's natural, because anytime we make a major change in our lives, that's going to automatically bring up our fears and insecurities. And so just to continue to move forward and just take the small steps. So we don't have to leap. You know, we can just take one small step and then another and then another. One thing I like to do is visualize what it is, see myself being successful in whatever that dream is. So visualize success, and then that's where the energy goes. So as opposed to staying with the fearful thoughts, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? You know, visualize the success. Send the energy, the positive energy there. And then another really helpful tool for me to work through fear also, and I don't know if you've ever tried this, Phyllis, is to do fire ceremony.
Don't know that. That's enlighten me.
Okay. Well, so doing a ritual, and it's much more powerful with other people, although you can do it by yourself. And it's writing down the energy, writing about your fears, so just getting it all on paper. And then finding where that fear resonates in your body. So let's say it's in your third chakra or your power center, where your stomach is. And then blow the energy of that out and blow it into the paper and then throw it in the fire. So basically what you're doing is allowing the energy of the fear to be transformed, and then also setting your intention for what you want to replace it with. So I'll give you an example. Becoming a writer, I had a tremendous amount of fear about being judged, and I realized that that had stemmed from certain issues in my life that I dealt with and worked on healing with. And one of the things I did was a fire ceremony. So I wrote on a piece of paper, I just journaled and scribbled all my fears about judgment, crumpled up the paper with a group of people, we did this together, put the paper in the fire, and then sure enough, within a week, I got a letter from someone that was very judging and hurtful, and it gave me the opportunity to work through my fear immediately so that I didn't have to carry that with me. So it was just very interesting. It's when you do a fire ceremony, and people are becoming more and more aware of what it means to set your intention, but it's a powerful intention for healing and transformation. So whatever the issue is, you can put it in the fire. Same with limiting beliefs. So if you have a limiting belief like, oh, all relationships are painful, or I can't trust men, I can't trust myself.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't deserve it.
What you're going to say? Am I hearing you say that, you know, in a few days after that, all of a sudden the universe is going to toss you that issue to see if you are ready to deal with
it? It's possible. I've had it happen more than once, Phyllis. So
beware. what you ask for, let it be granted unto thee, right?
Exactly. I have had it happen more than once. So from my experience, it has been very powerful.
That's not, no, I have heard something similar in writing down fears for abuse issues, you know, writing them down and sending them out and so forth. So I guess that's similar. I hadn't heard about burning it, but that's as good a way to get rid of it as any. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And I hope my listeners are taking note of that, because we have had callers come in and, you know, they have, and on occasion, had issues of lack of whatever it is in their life, and of fear or not wanting to move forward, or feeling that, you know, things weren't ready for them to move, and they wanted to have things just right for them to move forward, and they kept waiting and waiting for the perfect opportunity, and meanwhile life is continuing to roll by, and they're still in the same place.
Yeah.
5 years. Now, I understand there's a time when spirit guides you to move forward or not. I understand that there is that, too. But sometimes we can wait so long for the perfect timing that the perfect timing has gone by without our really seizing the moment, as it were.
And one of the things to consider when you are feeling stuck like that is, what do I have to lose in moving forward? Because, like I mentioned earlier, anytime we do make a change, there is going to be some kind of loss and letting go process. So, for example, when John and I left Seattle, we had to find homes, a home for our pets, and that was incredibly painful to give away our babies, you know.
Were you able to get them back, or did you just give them away forever?
A year later, we got them back, but the time, we weren't sure if we were going to get them back. And then we also said goodbye to family and friends, knowing that we were going to move when we came back, so that, you know, we wouldn't be living close to them again. So it was, there was a lot of grief in moving on. So I think that some people stay stuck sometimes because they don't want to have to let go. They don't want to have to go through the grieving process. And so if...
I think that that's another thing that people who don't understand, they think it's all Walt Disney kind of, that they do not realize that part of moving forward does involve releasing and sometimes being sad. And that's okay. And it's normal. It's not, you know, you don't always bounce through life like a rubber ball where everything's hunky-dory. Part of the growth issue is allowing yourself to express sorrow, express pain, and to move through it. Because when you do and you come to the other side, it's so much more glorious because you've made the journey and you have reached a point in your life where you can indeed then become more who you are, because you have released so much of pain and suffering. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just talking to someone about this actually today, and it's that
synchronicity, isn't it?
Synchronicity. I think the deeper you allow yourself to touch that place of whatever it is, the sorrow, the grief, the pain, the anger, the more you allow yourself to touch that and move through it and heal through it, like you said, the more you are going to be able to expand and experience even more love and joy and abundance. So it's an expansive, it may feel sad, it may feel hard, it may be, it may be devastating, but on the other side of it is this expansive expansion, opportunity for expansion.
Absolutely. And people should understand this. In the loss of a loved one, you know, grieving and holding on to staying in a place doesn't help them. And you can't move into your full life and be who you fully are until you allow yourself to fully express yourself in sorrow and then give yourself permission to move forward in love. Because once you release all the sorrow, you got to fill something back up. What is it? The basic law of physics? Nature abhors a vacuum.
That's right.
So when you get rid of that space, which is filled with, as you say, grief or sorrow or pain or anger or whatever, once that's released, then that has to be filled up. And what fills it up is the joy that comes when you empty yourself of all of that.
Yeah.
And that is the true blessing, I think, of any of the changes in life we have. that we are now ready to recreate ourselves and give ourselves the opening we need to become a newer, improved version of who we truly are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I have an example that might help people. It's kind of a personal example, but when I was, this book has been a dream of mine to write and get published for about 9 years. And when I received the front copy of the cover, I hadn't seen the back cover. I'd seen the front on an email, but they sent me like a cardboard version of the whole cover of the book, the front and the back. And I opened that. I was eating lunch, and I just started bawling. I just started crying because it was like, this is my dream and manifest, you know, in physical form. This is my dream. And what I realized when I was crying, the words that kept coming were, wow, my life is so amazing. I didn't realize how amazing and incredible my life is. And there was, while I was crying, there was this anguish. And I was like, wow, what is the anguish? I mean, because I was really bawling, like from the depths of my being. And what I realized was the anguish was that I am who I am today. I love my life. My life is amazing, but it's because of my brother's death, my father's death, all of the healing work I've done, eight other family members and friends have died, 5 years of infertility. It's because of all of the pain and the anguish that I've moved through, and I've shown up fully present for all of these losses and in my life so that I could transform them. And now my life is very full, and I am in this amazing place. But it was because of that journey that we were talking about.
And part of that, I think, is the heartening that comes with a journey such as yours, because it does give people hope, and it does give people the realization that just because we're grown up doesn't mean we stop dreaming, and just because we've run into some situations that have been hurtful and stultifying for us in the past, but we can make a conscious choice, and by that conscious choice, allow the universe, God, spirit, however you term what is out there for us in the spiritual aspect, we give the go-ahead for us to be allowed to live life more fully and to be able to accomplish things that we could only dream about at one time and thought were only dreams. And as we become inspirations to ourselves, we also become inspirations to others, and so that we can assist others in accomplishing their dream by accomplishing our dream.
That's beautiful. And I love that, because I just was taken back to an example. One of the first workshops I did a few years ago when I started my business was at a conference called the Women of Wisdom. And I remember being so nervous. 15 women showed up, and it went wonderfully. I got great feedback, but I was so nervous about this. And this year, I'm invited to be the keynote presenter, so it's on a much larger level. But so like you said, it's like as you go towards your dreams and you do show up for the healing and transformation, you become even more of the person that you thought you could be. And so here this year, I'm the keynote presenter, and I'll probably be just as nervous as I was sitting in that room with 15 women.
Well, like you said, a little bit of fear doesn't hurt. Keep those butterflies moving around.
Yeah.
You won't ever get complacent and bored. No, you'll do very well. You'll do very well. And you'll have a lot of fun with it, and I think you already know that.
Thank you.
I don't know if somebody beeped us or not, or did that just happen. If there's somebody who has called in, take this opportunity to say hello. We'd be glad to take a call. Nope, I guess not. So we can keep talking.
Okay.
As I mentioned, very often, I hear from people back after a show to say that they were so interested in what was being said that they didn't want to call in. They didn't want to interrupt the flow. So I think it's some way, a compliment, that we don't get calls at times so that people can get as much information as they like out of the time. And I would like you to mention again your book and where it can be bought, and contact information if they want to reach you personally.
Yes, Sail Into Your Dreams, 8 Steps to Living a More Purposeful Life. And my name is Karen Merringer. And it can you can also find out more information about me, my business, or the book on my website, and that is www.liveapurposefullife.com.
Okay, that's fabulous. So what are some of the other things that you have coming up? What you have this dream. What do you have coming up now that is another dream, now that you've successfully scaled this particular mountain?
Well, it has been a fascinating process being an author, because first it was moving through my fear of judgment, and then it was being published and out there in a bigger way, putting myself out there in a bigger way, and then the whole aspect of public speaking, and then, you know, so just every step has been a journey for me, and in expansion, and there has been fear, and mm-hmm. I keep moving through the fear and the anxiety and doing my personal healing work mm-hmm. along the way. So, yeah, just continuing with the public speaking, I actually, for the first time, thought as I was laying on the massage table.
I want you people to know that she had a massage before she came on. That's not fair. I work hard all day. That's not fair. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Well, so what came through as I was beginning to relax and open up more was that there's definitely more writing, and I think another book, which
Ooh.
Is the first time since finishing this book that I've actually had that feeling that there could be a whole new book. So that felt really good and exciting, and I'm not going to say any more about that, but that's in the future. And still hopefully if Providence permits having a family, so
Ooh.
Whether that's through adoption or conceiving, that's my next huge venture.
And that will be quite a venture. I've had some children myself, so yeah, it's a heck of an adventure. All I can say is batten down the hatches, honey. You're like an army ride. But you're going to love every minute of it, because you don't get bored, let me tell you. You don't have time to get bored. Mm-hmm. But having children is a fabulous adventure. I think that's absolutely wonderful. It's, you know, what I love hearing about so much are people who have followed their dreams. I know that for a while there, I put some of my dreams on hold for the sake of my family. And you know, sometimes you do set it aside, but then there are times when you say, well, isn't it time that I do for me? And you know what? You are allowed to do for you. So much of the time, we sacrifice ourselves for our families and others, and we forget that we are worthy and deserving of moving ahead, and we just don't see it. And so again, taking that very, very first step of saying that we are wonderful and deserve to have our dreams fulfilled, that we deserve happiness, and that we were really put on this earth to be happy. If we weren't, we wouldn't have the capability of being happy. We'd go around, you know, looking with a smile upside down all the time, being grouchy and grumpy. And it's so important to sometimes just take stock and appreciate who you are as you are standing there. And most of us don't really understand. We should appreciate ourselves because we are wonderful human beings, each and every one of us. And loving ourselves is a very, very important gift. And when we love ourselves, the miracle is we can love others the better. Because
mm-hmm.
love only gives love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just one of the neatest things. And it's part of what I see in your book, is really loving yourself and giving yourself permission to move ahead and be happy and to enjoy life.
Exactly. So I have a story that maybe
okay.
some of the audience can relate to regarding
okay.
having kids and putting your life on hold. I was in San Francisco having breakfast with my sister last February, and I looked at her, and she has three kids, 12, 14, 8, and she's actually expecting her fourth now.
Wow.
At the time, she didn't realize she was expecting, but... And so I looked at my sister and I said, Chris, I said, what are your deepest dreams and desires? And she looked at me and she said, you know what, Karen? Nobody has ever asked me that before, and I haven't even taken the time to think about that, so give me a few minutes. So she literally just sat there for a few minutes.
Wow.
And she thought about it, and she started talking, and she said, you know, I want to paint. I want to write a children's book. I want to, you know, so she just kind of rattled off a bunch of different things. And the next day, she for her birthday, she was having a massage, and this whole entire book came channeling through her.
What?
That she called me all excited. You're not going to believe this. And she, sure enough, has this great story idea for a story. So she's trying to get it all down before the baby comes out.
Like
but it just—I mean,
before, right?
Well, I think what I want to talk about, Phyllis, and maybe see if you're along these lines too, is how can people live their dreams on a daily basis, especially given the hectic schedule, the kids' soccer games.
Excellent. Go for it. Tell us.
Yeah, and so and because I'm not there yet as far as being a mom, I can't speak to it fully. Maybe that will be one of the next books. But my sister was saying that she takes 20 minutes every day to herself before all the commotion starts, and that makes a world of difference for her day. And so I just want to talk about a couple of tools that maybe people...
Okay.
For me, I like to do a little bit of yoga, some meditation, and some journaling every morning. And it doesn't really matter how much time I have, whether it's 5 minutes for each thing or 10 minutes or an hour. That's my way of checking in and centering myself before I start my day. So if you can get to a place of being centered before you start your day and setting your intentions for how you want your day to unfold, that's a much more empowering place to be. And sometimes for me, even if I just jump up and get going, I'll do a little centering in the shower where I...
nice place to be centered.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I do an energy clearing. I put my hands up in the air and I say, thank you, Creator, for all that I am. Thank you for all that's in my life. And then I do a quick visualization about my day. And
that
in itself is just a couple minutes.
Oh, well, listen to that. That's a miracle. Bring it in. Let's emphasize it. Visualize how you want your day to go before it truly begins. That's a good one.
Yeah, and I have a friend who, she's also a psychotherapist, and she, when she had two young boys, I think she was also working full-time and really tired, so she used to do her meditations in the bathtub. She would go in the bathroom and close the door, and so she did all kinds of healing and meditation work in the bathtub. So there's ways of setting boundaries, there's ways of carving out that time for yourself, but it's a choice. We all need to become empowered and choose for ourselves what it is that we need so that we can be happy and joyful and show up more present in our lives.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad she has it. Does she have children, by the way?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. I don't know about her, but I found when I went to the bathroom... And my defenses were down, so to speak, seated there. My children would take that time to come in, drop their bombshell, and take off, because if I tried to get up, they'd trip and fall on my face, you know. But going in and taking care of yourself as far as, you know, having some quiet time, I think that is lovely. But I don't know. My kids, maybe they were weird. I've had other people say, you know, you could never go to the bathroom. Because the kids would take that opportunity to drop their bombshell and take off because they knew you were at a disadvantage to reach them, and they stayed out of reach. So, but I used to go into the bath and just say, nobody bother me for the next 15, 20 minutes while I enjoy myself. So you're absolutely right. That is a place where you can enjoy yourself and take care of yourself.
Well,
I'm up for bubble bath and candles and scented oil and anything else that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. And if I can, I would like to share another story of another
Please.
Friend of mine. She's a mom, and she has a 10-year-old son and a husband, and she was able to take a whole week off and go into a silent retreat where she didn't have a cell phone, she didn't have a computer. I don't even think she brought books or music. So she meditated, she walked, she cooked organic meals, and she came back more centered, more rejuvenated, and more clear about her boundaries in her life than any. That was the best thing she could have ever done for her whole life, and her family really appreciated it. So even though they missed her being gone, the change in her was so remarkable that it was well worth her taking the time off. So I think sometimes we get the limiting beliefs in our heads that we can't take time away from our families or our kids, or that's too selfish, or, you know, but the gift that you give and loving yourself, like you said earlier, the gift that you give is that you have so much more to give back when you do come back fully present and rejuvenated.
I am fully in agreement with on that. We had such a great conversation that we went on some subjects. I can't remember all of them at the moment, but if you remember some at this moment and you'd like to expand on it, feel free to do so, because It's always wonderful to share with others, and no matter what walk of life you are in, to know that you find spirit sisters, if you will, and spiritual brothers, that they do believe the things that you believe in, that they do share, and it's okay to open up and share, because once you share these thoughts with each other and the joys that you find, there's like a transfer of energy between you, so that each one seems to be able to, I don't know, contribute more to the well-being of the other. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or am I not being too clear about it?
No, I think I understand where you're going with this.
Okay. And I think that's also something that you do for your practice as well. I think you feel that it's made you a better therapist.
Right.
For the journey that you've had.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that the continuing to take care of who you are just helps you just to be better no matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you to be centered and able to give more of yourself in every way. And I think that's one of the gifts that we should consciously give ourselves, the ability to increase what we do for others, not at our expense, but in a joyous way that is fulfilling, and sharing with others what we go through, because a lot of people don't. And it's very important to share these wonderful stories with each other. And I find it a really great blessing when I read a book like yours, and I'm able to talk to authors like you and get you out there and share your stories and your insights and the miracle of your path that you're walking. And it's a lot of fun.
I have a great deal
of fun with it. Are there any other things that you'd like to share with the audience at this time? We don't have too much time left, but we do have a little time. And anything that you feel you'd like to share and connect in any way, please do so.
Thank you for that opportunity. I really appreciate it. I'm just kind of sitting here with my thoughts, just seeing what bubbles up. We did
that percolates to the circus.
What percolates? Let's see what's there. We did talk about. Let me see if we. I think we covered most of the steps except for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. We didn't touch on very much. 6 was connecting intimately with all life. Slow down. And I think I shared enough about that as far as our sailing trip.
Yes.
But that is a part about the book as far as connecting not only with within, above, with people outside, and also below with Earth. So
mm-hmm.
there's 4 different ways of connection that I think about when I think of connecting. And a lot of times we don't have that balance.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we're isolating ourselves and not connecting with people enough, or maybe we are connecting spiritually but we're not grounded,
mm-hmm.
Or we're grounded but we're not spirit, so there's...
Mm-hmm.
all these different avenues of connection to take into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one last thought. And then the other one is step 7 is see the lighthouse in the storm, and that's about transforming adversity. And we have talked about that quite a bit as well. And that's about just maintaining your, basically, that sometimes we don't have choices about our circumstances, but we can choose how we see our attitude, our perspective, how we see what's happening in our lives. And
I think we can choose how to react to what's happening in our life.
Exactly.
That's another thing I think that we all don't realize. We feel we're so helpless and powerless. There is one thing I don't believe we are ever powerless to do, and no one can, and that is how you react to and how you deal with what happens in your life. That's the one thing, 100%, the attitude that you have, the thoughts that you have, the way you view things, that is 100% under your control. And if you are not happy with it, you can indeed make a conscious decision to say, I don't want to handle that way anymore. I'm going to take it a new attitude. Ask for help from the spiritual side of you,
mm-hmm.
or get counseling, whatever way is important for you, and say, I am tired of reacting this way or having this way, and make conscious choice to choose how you are affected in the future. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That is our power.
That absolutely is our power. And one way that you can do it on a daily basis, sometimes mm-hmm. when I notice my thoughts are negative, is that I focus on what I appreciate. So it's like
gratitude.
Doing some
yes.
kind of gratitude journal every
yes.
day, or gratitude meditation, or
yes.
Like my prayer in the shower that I told you about, thank you, Creator, for all that I am and all that's in my life. It's like this opening that
oh,
really
yes.
centers me in my heart and in my more positive frame of mind.
That's very, very powerful. I don't know if you've ever heard of, his last name is Emoto. He wrote on the miracle of water.
Yes.
You have?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And that just writing words on a bottle of water will change the water. So if it does that to water, think about just write down words that are positive for you that you want change in, and see if that won't happen for you.
Right.
Maybe that works.
Right.
But
absolutely.
You can choose to change your life, and if you choose to change your life, because you choose to do so, your life will have to change. Just be sure that you ask what you want. Don't just say, have a big change, it may not be the kind of change you really want. It's always good to ask for what you want. But yes, you can change your life, and miracles do happen. And, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, just a cute story about that.
Good.
I have the intention, one powerful way of setting your intention for positive change is to write things down. And I made a list of about 10 qualities that I wanted in a man. And I got my ex-husband, and then I decided after that, because that wasn't so successful, I made a list of
going back and voting twice was not what you wanted to do.
So with the second go around, I made a list of 64 qualities, and they were much more in depth because I learned from
were.
Yeah, I learned from the first. The first go around, what I didn't want, and therefore what I did want, and then on the back I created a list of 20 qualities of how I wanted to feel in the relationship. I realized that was very important to me. And sure enough, a couple months later, John showed up, and like I said, we have a wonderful relationship. So there's some very powerful tools out there of setting intention, like I was talking about the fire ceremony, writing it down. Creating a board, a vision board of your dreams so that your subconscious can work on them.
A vision board? You didn't mention that. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't mention that. So that's just like a collage of things.
Okay.
Yeah, like a collage of vision board. And putting it somewhere like on an altar or somewhere you can see it every day.
Okay. Or like what the old thing that you were supposed to do if you wanted to dream about your future husband. You take a piece of wedding cake that was from a wedding you attended and put it on your pillow. I always thought it was a rather messy thing to do. But and that night you were supposed to dream about your future husband, something of that nature.
Oh, funny.
That's sort of like a different kind of message board. But, yes, that I think it is good to emphasize here, it is the intention with which we do things. It is our heart's desire that we draw. And as I said, what we put out in spirit has to come to us because we are creative beings. We are co-creators. And so what we desire and want most to put our heart into has to come through
mm-hmm.
because that's just the nature of the beast.
Well, especially when it's not from a place of ego. So making sure
and
that...
And selfishness and meanness. And yeah, I wonder, when I talk about this, I would hope I didn't have to make clear, but I'll say it now that you mentioned it. It's not to do intent to do harm to someone else, but for you and for creating a happier, whole, more holistic, joyous lifestyle for the individual. This is not meant as something with which to go beat somebody else over the head with. It is to be used and respectful for creating heaven on earth for yourself. That's what it's for, and that's each person's birthright, in my opinion. That we have that right to have a happy, healthy life. And we can do it by choosing to change from where we are here and now and moving forward. And that is about the best that we could possibly do. I think you've given some very wonderful information and some very wonderful guidelines that people can follow to a happier and healthier life and a joyous and a joyous lifestyle, too, as a matter of fact. Is there anything else you'd like to share at this time? Because we're just about there, my dear.
No, I think I'm good, Phyllis. Do you want me to say my book again and the website?
Yes, I would, and the contact information. Absolutely.
Okay, it's Sail Into Your Dreams, 8 Steps to Living a More Purposeful Life is the title of the book. My name is Karen Marringer, and my website is www.liveapurposefullife.com.
Oh, thank you so very much. And Karen, if you write another book, I hope you'll contact me and let me know. I'd love to have you talk again and share. And I am so excited about this new life that you're moving into now, each and every day. And I wish you all the very, very best. You deserve it. You're a really wonderful person and you've been a delight to have on the show.
Thank you so much, Phyllis, and I wish you many, many blessings, too, on your journey and the exciting things that you have coming up in your life.
Oh, me too, and to the audience. Oh, yes, and to all of you, thank you so very much for listening to us. And please remember, Karen's book is wonderful. It's easy to read. I had a lot of fun reading it, and it's really a very good book and a really great story, and I loved it. Again, thank you, and have a wonderful evening and good night, and God bless to everyone. We'll be seeing you next week on the Higher Dimensions. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
The camera never lies, you know, and mirrors are no better. Cheaters never win, they say.